Good morning. How you doing? Huh? I've loved it because all we've done is lift up the name of Jesus. And what did he say that he would do? Huh? He'd draw men unto himself. You see, when we meet, there's such an exciting thing that can happen. Somebody can get a new mommy today. Somebody can get a new daddy. Somebody can get a new son. Somebody can get a new daughter. Husband and wife can quit fighting and get together and start loving each other as Christ commanded them to. You don't meet just to meet, church. What good is that? We don't meet just to meet. What good is that? There's civic groups that do that. There's civic groups that do great things out there for their community. We're flying under the banner of our Lord and Savior. Why do we shout his name in the streets? Because what you shout is not what you're ashamed of. You'll shout at those refs. You'll shout for your babies. You're not ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed of the name of Jesus, right? And like he said, what he has done in our life, right? What he has done for us, you couldn't do for yourself. He paid a price for you and for me. Come on, that's the centering point of all of this, guys. Christ and him crucified. Why people are always arguing about everything else, it's Christ and him crucified. And we can't get away from that. We just can't. Pray with me. So Father, we just rejoice in you this morning. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Jesus, you are worthy. Father, I just ask you to accompany your word with power, Lord, because God, you know each heart here. You know each thought, God, Lord. You know, Lord, where everybody is and where everybody needs to be, Father. It is beyond me and my understanding. It is beyond my ability to articulate everything, God, that you would want to say. But God, I lay myself down before you, Lord, just as an agent of love here, Lord God, to speak something that may inspire, Lord, and may reach the heart of each person. God, that it would find good soil. Father, I pray you break the ground up, Lord. I pray, God, Lord, you shake what needs to be shaken, God. You break what needs to be broken. Lord, if anybody just came in here today just to fulfill a religious duty, I pray, God, you meet them right now, Father. Know that you're living and alive and this is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You have so much for them, God, and they just pray that they would taste and see of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to just kind of speak to you this morning a little bit. About something that I've experienced in my own life. I'm not proud of it, but I have, right? But last summer I was, not this part, but you'll see in a minute. And my leg's feeling better, so I'm going to come down here. Right? I was in my pool last summer and I was on a float, which I normally don't because I'm always swimming and moving. Makes my Mandy irritated. She just likes to float. I want to move, play basketball, do something in the water, right? But I was in the float and I was looking up to the sky and it's not a big deal, but it's important for what I'm about to say to you this morning. I look up and before I know it, when I look around, I'm on the other side of the pool. What had happened to me? I drifted away from where I was. And the reason why I say this morning is because of this important truth on this. I didn't even know that I drifted. Put my eyes somewhere else, and now I am away from my original position. Does this happen to us in our Christian walk? Am I the only one in here today? They can get sideswiped by lies, by my agenda, by my personal ambitions, by the things of this life, the jobs, responsibilities, always trying to take everything into my own hands. Am I the only one in here this morning that deals with this? Is that the plan of God, though? Is that the will of God? So can we agree that when we get like this, we're out of the will? We're not out of love. He still loves us and saved us, but we are not in the position where we once were. And it's so easy to drift. It's so easy. You can find yourself caught up in scrolling for hours. Do you not think the enemy knows our mind and our habits and our addictive behaviors? Now we have to have some type of stimulus every 10 seconds or we get bored. I'll admit I watch my phone while the commercials are rolling. Because I'm bored during the what? So I'm going to find something else to look at. We'll sit there and put a movie on, and until it gets good to the plot, we'll sit there and scroll on our phone. I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you the truth. You've heard stories of people when they go out to the ocean, right? They get caught under the undercurrent. What happens? They drift. Where's the safety at? The shoreline, but how far do they get? Sometimes it's not easy to get back without extra help. Thank God for Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, we must give an earnest heed to the things we have heard. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 1, if we go back to chapter 1, he's talking about Christ and what he has done. Lest we what? Drift away. And that's the title this morning. Lest we drift away. Now, I'm going to highlight some points. I can have several, but for the sake of time, we're going to look at a few. Number one is we shift our eyes. Remember when I was in the pool? I shifted my eyes, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, heals off of the hall of faith, as Roy called it Wednesday night. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses of people who laid down their life for the gospel, who didn't find their life of their own, who did mighty exploits in God. Therefore, since we have those around us, right, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What? Looking unto who? The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Lay aside every weight. We fix our eyes on our burdens, don't we? Our problems? Huh?
Yes, we do.
And we don't do what? We don't cast them on him, do we? And what happens to our heart? It begins to drift away. I know some of you are probably going through some stuff, but the promise is still yes and amen. It hasn't changed. God still won't come through for you. If not, he's going to walk through the fire with you.
Amen.
No, he will. You know, it's the cares of this life which chokes out the word of God. And when we get on the temporary or the eternal goes, it fades away. It goes away. See, our minds are supposed to be set on things above, not on things of this earth. We seek not what we wear, what we eat, or what we drink. We seek first his kingdom. And we get so weighted down. Sermon illustration I did one time, I brought a guy up here, I put a backpack on him, and then I started putting my weights into that backpack, right? And I found an athlete too, because I used to be a lot faster, but I'm not fleet of foot anymore. I get about halfway, my hamstrings cry out. I run a 40 in 2.0. It takes me the first day to get the first 20, the second day to get the next 20. Probably a little bit of rest and ice in between, right? Huh? But if I take the greatest athlete in here and I put 100 pounds on their back, I still like my chance. Probably still lose depending on who it is. But still, I like to think that I can win. Why? They're going to be burdened down by all the weights. So I could put that light bill in there. I could put my kid is acting crazy in there. I can put, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do next month in there. Oh my gosh, my boss is acting this way in there. Then I can just keep piling weight after weight after weight until they're so burdened down, they're stuck in their very same place. And the second one there, it says the sin that so easily entangles us. Sin is a trap. It's a snare. There's nothing good about it, right? People find pleasure in it. People find their pride in it. It appeals to their fleshly nature, absolutely, or we wouldn't do it, would we? But it's a trap. It's a snare. Growing up in Him meant for me to move beyond the fact that sin was a bunch of do's and don'ts into a father's heart, understanding that these things will destroy me. There's a debate between grace and works within the body. I've listened to this stuff over and over and over. But the fact is, we should want to repent. Why? Because we found the goodness of Him is far greater than the sin of which I commit. I saw something, and it said this, and it broke my heart, guys. It said, if Christianity was so good, why are Christians so bad? Because we made it only about eternal security, eternity in heaven. That is the cherry on top. That is so perfect and great, and I agree with you. But this life, I came to give you life more abundantly. Do we see it? Or is it the burdens and the sin that the church continues to stay in is why we can't see it? When He calls us into freedom and into life, and there's times I would rather hang out with people that don't even know Him because they're so much nicer. And that's not a compliment. And I ain't gonna apologize for it. Why? Because pray to prayer. I can go to heaven now, but I can be as mean as I want to be. God understands. We're void of love. Yet it's, everybody wants to be biblical. You don't know God unless you know love. We'll skirt past that one though. We'll call fire down from heaven though from the people on the other political side. Because we're so much better. Again, I've thought about bringing my son's rope, right? Again, running a race. I was going to bring Roy up here and I was going to tie his feet up, man. And I was going to feel good about it. Because I really couldn't rope. I want to know how to. I really couldn't. I couldn't get a steer head, no. But I'd make him stand in it and then squeeze it, man. And I'd get his feet going. And guess what? He's easily entangled in that rope. Guess what he can't do? He can't run that race. And yet that's what we're supposed to do, because the people who went before us that left us a legacy, that showed us a way. Were they perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. But they showed us the way, the cloud of witnesses that are around us saying, let's go live for Him. He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of your time and your effort, your energy, not out of obligation, but just because you love Him, because He set you free, because He cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And I want to run the more for Him. But would these things cause us to do what? Drift away. To drift away. Number two, we lose heart. You ever dealt with discouragement? What does discouragement do to your heart? It makes you lose courage. Sometimes, if you're like me, you can have a woe is me party. Now, I'm the only one in here, probably. You ever been doing good and people don't do good back? Should we get mad, offended, walk in unforgiveness? Or are we supposed to pray for those who spitefully use us? Red letter. See, we don't like that. That doesn't appeal to our flesh. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap the will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, do I go on? Yeah. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. You may have been praying for a long time for somebody and you're giving up, ticker is about ready to give up. You can't do it. You can't lose heart, guys. God is not on your time clock. He's not punching in for you. He's outside the bounds of time. When you start thanking God for that miracle, you need to thank God that it could happen 20 years from now. But you're going to resolve yourself. You're going to make the decision, though, that it's done. But then what happens after a year or two? And then you have the enemy over there whispering, he ain't showing up. He's not coming. He don't love you like that. Then what do? Yeah, you might be right. You start agreeing. And you start walking in the power of agreement. And then your desire and your love for him starts to wane a little bit. Now you might get mad at him. Some people do. They shake their fist at him because he didn't come through when they wanted him to. When he showed himself to you at that cross, the depths of his love and the willingness of him to go as far as it needs to go. Don't be deceived. So what does it mean? If you start losing heart, deception is creeping up in your mind. Come on, church. His promises are yes and amen. Don't lose heart, my friend. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep doing good. If you're loving on somebody at work, keep serving them. Whatever they talked about me. You don't have the problem. They do. But when you take it to heart, get all personal, getting your feels about it, now you have the problem. Now you have to work the offense out of your heart. Yeah, but it's not about what they do to us, it's about what he has done for us, guys. I've seen a lot of people who were so on fire for God, so beat up because of discouragement. Point number three, we fall asleep. We fall asleep. We get a little apathy. We get a little bit careless. We get a little lazy. I don't know about you guys, but like driving down the road at night hypnotizes me. Now you're laughing, so I guess some of you guys do the same, right? I'm trying to check mirrors. I'm trying to do everything. I roll down the window and like slap my face with cold air. I do what it can because I have fallen asleep at the wheel. And I believe by God's grace, I'm still alive standing before you today. Because I remember driving to work and I was going to iron 50 minutes to Ripley teaching and living in Henry, Tennessee. And I remember, I don't remember my turn that I was supposed to go to work. I remember kind of coming awake when I was in Covington, Tennessee. So if you know anything about West Tennessee, over that's about 10 minutes down the road. I just think that an angel was there cheering. I don't know what happened. I'm not going to go on record and say, but still, was like, whoa. And then I get to work late, and guess who's standing there ready to have a conversation with me? My principal. What am I supposed to say? I made a decision to drive so far, right? But we fall asleep. All the enemy wants to do is to get you lullabied just a little bit. Guys, I've been to communist countries with the persecuted church. I've been to a communist country with the persecuted church. You know it's okay to be Christian there? It was at that time, right? But you know what they did not want? They did not want you to tell other people about it. Why? Because the enemy wants you asleep. It's okay you being a Christian, but as long as you don't be affecting your workplace and your home and all these other places that you step foot in, you're no threat to him. And he gets this. Let's look in Ephesians. Chapter 5, verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in the secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now listen to this wisdom. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, some people don't want to hear about the hurts of the world because they don't want to have to care about it. They don't want to have to do something about it. So we do what? We turn a blind eye, put our head in our sand, right? There's things going on in our country. Instead of complaining about it, we should be filling the altars about it. If we really want to make a difference and make a dent into this thing, right? But what can we do? We can put our head in the sand, bury it, go to our grill outs and do things with our family and just kind of be lullaby to sleep, not be too excited about things. Are you with me? I lost you there. We're supposed to be sober and vigilant and be thinking and be looking and seeing God move. Hear a lot of people talk about revival. I heard a guy say, and I agree with him. He says, people don't want a move of God. They want church. Just let me gather, let me hear, and I'll go home and do my thing. Wake up! You're in a battle. You're in a war. Then one day you wake up and your kids are messed up and everything else is going wrong. You're like, what happened? You fell asleep. You didn't stay diligent. Point number four. This is really one I want to get to. You have moved from your first love. Now I know this was written to a specific church at a specific time, but let's take out of it what we can, right? Revelation 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden stands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove the lampstand from its place, unless you repent. We'll stop there. Oh, do you remember a time when you got saved? Come on. Do you remember a time? What happened that day? I would guess if it's like a lot of the testimonies I hear, the weight of the world came off of your shoulders. Because the weight of sin was lifted off by the power of His love. Do you remember that you wanted to shout Jesus from the mountaintop? You want to call grandma? You want to call your family? Let them know that Christ has done a new work inside of you? You're so hungry and thirsty for His Word. You just wanted that worship song on the radio. Some of you, your 8 tracks. Some of you, your CDs. I'll tell you guys later. Some of you, your MP3. Now you're streaming it, right? Through the years. Cassette tapes. Can't forget cassette tapes. You got to use your finger and get it rewind. That's how we rewound things. After it ate, after you just bought it, you're starting, right? You're so hungry. You're so thirsty. Come on, maybe it's just not a time you remember you saved, but you had a time in your walk with Him where it was just Him and Him only. And He was all that mattered to you. See, Paul understood it. You know what he said? He said this. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That my whole life is not meant for me anymore. It's for you. But I want to go home to be with Him because I'm so in love with Him. I'm ready to see Him face to face. But I'll stay here as long as He needs me to do the work that I need to accomplish. But take me home now. Amen. Why? Because it was all about Jesus for him. It wasn't about drifting away and problems and sin entangling, about discouragement. It wasn't about, you know what I'm saying, about falling asleep. It's about Him, man. You're so passionate. Roy spoke Wednesday about how at times you get so fired up and none go with you. I've been there, man. I let it discourage me. Why? We sing songs of the old hymns. Though none go with me, I'll follow. But then when nobody follows, we get upset. That just shows you the duplicity of our speech. How we can say one thing, mean another, mean something. You understand what I mean? We don't really mean what we say. It just sounds good. We can learn the language of the kingdom, guys. But do you remember when your heart was just beating for Him? And He's all you wanted. He's all you needed. And you actually enjoyed being in the fire with Him. Because He was there. Because you understood that this life is nothing but a vapor. And we're going to lay Him down by the grave or His return. But we're going to lay Him down one way or the other. And eternity will be with Him. And you'll see how all these things that we magnified in our minds pale in comparison to the glory of Him. Oh, if I could peel the heavens back, you guys wouldn't care anymore. But I can't. You have to trust His Word. They were doing so good, but they left their passion. You could be serving all the time and still leave your passion for Him. That's that time of communion with Him where you look forward to getting up saying, Lord, I'm awake. Are you? Even though, you know what I'm saying? And we drift. And sometimes we don't even know we're drifting because our eyes are somewhere else. And we can't even see it anymore. And you feel dead on the inside. And you're like, what happened? What happened? And the things you used to rejoice over, you don't even feel a thing about. Huh? Okay, it was good. What happened? You drifted. Or you're currently drifting. Can I tell off myself here? Can I tell on myself, guys? Is it all right for me to struggle too? Even though I'm up here? Man, I drifted hard for a while. You know what happened to me? Here's what happened to me. I got jaded. I get so tired of listening to the petty in the church. Because it's supposed to be about him. It's supposed to be about unifying with my brother and my sister and loving him. Being able to talk to people, even if you have a bad day, just forgiveness and love flowing. It's supposed to be about lifting up a king who shows us the highest form of love by laying down his life for us. And a people that is so grateful and so hungry for him that they come and they just want to worship him and bow at his feet. And it becomes so much more about red tape and money and position and selfish ambition. And I scroll and then this one's talking about how the people that talk in tongues are wrong and the people that are talking in tongues fire back. No, you're wrong. And there's this quest for moral superiority amongst the body. And it's about this church. Don't you dare steal my sheep. You want to worship together? No, you believe in this. Yet it says there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. It's so, like, you know, it's right there. It's not hard even for me to understand. And I'm like, what's the point anymore? And I start to give up. I didn't want to do anything. I'm only up here because I love you. And if I could say something to help you along your journey, I'll say it. Because I don't need this God. I don't need it. I'll go coach those kids at soccer. I'll teach those kids at school. And I'm fine. I'm good. And it's not one particular time in my life. This has been years I've seen the good and the bad and certainly the ugly in church. People get mad over walls and colors and all that other stuff. I went to Bible school in Kansas City. My professor told me of a church split because the toilet paper roll should go underneath. And then the other side, that breaks my heart, guys. Because is that what he died for? Is your toilet paper preference? Some of you get mad whether or not the toothpaste is squeezed in the middle or if it's at the end rolled up. You got problems. I'm sorry. I love you. When it comes out, just brush your teeth. Be a servant. If it's in the middle, go back behind them and roll it up. But to get mad and make it a pet peeve, I can only see, the enemy going, watch this. They're up there cackling, right? We're down there. I wouldn't say up there. But they're cackling, right? All I got to do is have that husband squeeze the toothpaste in the middle. Her day is shot, man. She'll go to come alive on Saturday, but she'll be mad by Monday. You watch her. You watch her. Can you imagine? The one who did this for you and me. This beatings marred in Isaiah like no other man. Criminal death, and all he was doing was good. For people to fight and to fuss. And it doesn't start there. It's not between two people. Hey man, do you know what they did? You got to get you a crew to run with you. Now all of a sudden churches. So it's like, God, why do I want to do this? I start to drift, guys. And my love walk started going away. Come on, I used to walk through stores and just try to ask God to love on a person through me. And I got away from that. I'm going to go in and get what I need and get out of here. What's the point? I was wrong. I'm not saying at all I have a justified position. I was wrong. But I'm telling you, that stuff made me come alive. And I didn't feel that anymore. I had other issues and other problems I need to deal with, but I'm just telling you one part of it, right? Then I woke up the other morning, and before I came to church, I saw on Facebook a friend of mine giving his testimony about how God had rescued him. And he said the thing I said a while ago. He said he felt the weight, the 10,000 pound weight come off of him. And I start to cry because I was like, that's what it's all about, God. That's what it's all about. It's about the ones that will listen. It's about the people that you can reach. If people want to fight over that, I'll deal with them. But you just go about your business. And I heard this. He said, you could either be a voice in this generation or you keep accepting the lies. Now, when I say voice in this generation, I'm not talking about platforms and stages and preaching and pastoring and roles and positions. I'm talking about when I walk out here that I can be a light into this world. Amen. Or I can keep accepting the lies. Are you accepting the lies today? Are you drifting? I'm going to give you three things. There's a whole lot more I could show you this morning. But number one, I'm going to give you three keys to victory, all right? There's more, I know. Psalms 51. First point I want to give you is go back to the beginning. Just go back to those altars, those stones of remembrance where God delivered you. Go back to that place when you were so on fire for Jesus. And just meditate on what you were doing back then and say, God, take me back. I'm not saying live in the past, guys. I'm saying that what you were doing then, you returned to where you came from. In other words, quit drifting and get back to the safety of the shore, guys. First point is go back to the beginning. Listen to Psalms 51, verse 10. Pray the prayer of creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Jump to 12. Restore to me the joy of not my salvation, but your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Sometimes you just got to go back to the fundamentals. I coach. When the fundamentals break down, our team does not perform as well. And we got to go back to practice to get them to refocus. And if you ever work with middle schoolers, that's the challenge of a lifetime. Got one person in agreement. You're living it probably. Just go back. Like he said in Revelation 2. Return. Number two, get back in the Word. Our sister shared that earlier this year. It sounds silly, but guess what? A lot of people don't read. If you have to, put it on the Audible. Get on the app and push play. It'll read to you. But you can also do that and be disengaged. I don't want you to do that. Engage with the Word because it's living and it's breathing. And the reason why I say that, how can you not fight the lies that you're accepting if you don't know the truth? John 8 reads this. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. People die for their lack of knowledge, right? That's what it says, right? You could be accepting a lie, you're not good enough. It's in there. You may not feel loved. It's in there. Look, I'm telling you, I'd love to pray for you. I'll pray with you as many times as possible. But until you renew your mind to the truth, it's going to be very difficult for you. Because I could tell you all day, it's like a mother telling her son how handsome he is. Until that other young lady tells him the same thing, it carries a different weight, does it not? Now he might start believing it, because that's mom. She's supposed to say that. You got to get in there and learn from him yourself. That's why when I start praying for people, if they're needing healing, I'm also praying for the mind and the renewing of the mind. Because fear, worry, and doubt wants to creep up there instead of love, power, and a sound mind. And then the people around you can carry that worry with you. Because I want you to believe. And I'm going to finish today with three little verses. There's a lot of good around it, but if you would just walk out of here today and practice this, you'd make my heart happy. Get your mind right. I know when I say that, sometimes it's more complicated than that. And I'm not trying to make something simplistic that's complex. But understand what I'm saying. Get your mind right. Sometimes it may take some sittings and talking and working through individual stuff. But if you would just do these three things, you would see a victory today. First one is rejoice always. Second one, pray without ceasing. The third one, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What do those three things do in the partnership? They put you in a frame of mind. Come on. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with what? God, I know I'm going through this and I'm really not liking it too well. My flesh is crying out. It wages war against my soul right now. But Father, I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to praise you in this storm. I'm going to lift my hands and pray, God, right now, Father, and give you the thanks, God, because I'm going to see a victory. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this in this time, because what you're doing inside of me is greater than what's going on around me. God, yeah, I have succumbed to fear, I've succumbed to worry, I've succumbed to doubt, but that is not the spirit that you bring. You gave me love, power, and a sound mind, and I thank you from this day forward that I am going to walk in that and think through that and operate through that, God. And I praise you, Lord, that you've chosen me for this time and this hour, God, because what you're doing in me will carry me throughout eternity. Do you see the shift, guys? Where you can sit around all day and ruminate about how bad it is. And watch your soul become downcast. And watch you drift away from the shore. And watch that fire and that fervor and that passion for him begin to simmer down until you're just barely flickering. And until you're just a lit ember. I want God to fan the flame in you this morning. That you walk in the fire of his love, church. That people will see you, they see light, they can come to you. A tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. It bears fruit for those who can come pluck off of it. And the fact is, you can have peace and joy and love and patience and kindness. And people will see that. And now the enemy is intimidated because someone is chosen to bypass they decided to resist the flesh and live for him. And they're beaming with light. And now you're intimidating to the enemy. But you got to make the shift, man. You got to get your mind right. See, it doesn't do us well to start thanking God for our tough situation. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith is producing endurance, that it can have its perfect result, that you'd be complete and you're lacking nothing, no thing. You want to get to that place where the enemy doesn't have a seat in your thinking room. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's casting fiery darts. The shield of faith distinguishes. You understand what I'm saying? Extinguishes it. Nothing has changed in my life and my attitude, church. And I'm feeling my own personal revival right now. And life has just been springing forth because we have rivers of living water that he says is inside of us. I thank God. Whatever's going on in my life right now, thank God that he chose me to put me in there. That does not do well with our flesh and our desire to feel sorry for ourselves. I get it. But if you want to be free, then that's what you're going to have to do. Stand with me this morning. If you don't know him, I pray that you do. He's good. And I pray that you taste and see that he's good. I pray that you would get into the word and see how good he is. I pray it's been modeled to you to the utmost highest. Sometimes it's not, but you can't judge him for his followers. You got to look unto him if you're going to believe in him, because he loves you. He's the one that died for you. And I pray that you'd open your heart to him and see that he is the way, God, because he is. He is the way. Is it not good following him? Is it not good when you shed yourself of yourself and allow him to live in you? Don't you love it when you're in that place where you're so close to him? Come on now. I know he's in us, and I know sometimes that we don't think he's far off, but he's with us. I'm not saying that he's left. I'm just saying, did you love that spot when you're free of worry, free of doubt, and you're just communing with him and loving on him, and life becomes so simple. And you believe to live as Christ, to die as gain. I'm also going to talk to you today. If you're drifting, I just want you to do, just go back. Let's fix it. He's extending his arms of mercy this morning. Just fix it. Just fix it. Get your mind right. Get your mind right. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, God, Lord, your grace be upon this place. Lord, that you just touch every person here today, God, Lord. I pray, Lord, Father, that they are not drifting away, Father. I pray if they're there, I pray they do everything they can to protect themselves and guard their heart with all diligence, Father. But if someone here is drifting away, Lord, and they've lost their passion, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, that they would see the error of their way, Father. I pray, God, Lord, that they would repent, change their mind, God, Lord, and just restore unto them the joy of your salvation. God, I pray you create a new heart today, God, Lord, and each person here, Father, that they come out of here even more passionate for you, Jesus. Father, I just pray your mercy upon each family and blessing upon each family, God, Lord, that it be a house that's on fire, Lord, for your love, your kingdom, Father. And I just pray, God, Lord, that, Father, you break off, Lord, at what needs to be broken. And you shake us, Lord God. God, just shake us, Lord. Just shake us, God, Lord, until all that is not of you is broken off of us, God. Father, I pray, God, Lord, you just continue to be lifted high here today, Lord. I thank you, God, Lord, that you have spoken to us. I thank you, Lord, for the victory and the breakthrough in each life here today, Lord, as they walk out of here, Father, just made new by you. We give you the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Denny.
Amen. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.